The San Francisco Giants get a much-needed win in this finale against the Brewers. They salvage a game in the series, and they're going to head into this series against the Dodgers starting on September 3rd, tied for first place in the NL West. Logan Webb was great again today, so we'll talk all about it on today's Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. This show is on YouTube. I keep forgetting to bring that up. And on YouTube, I'm going to bring up this little graphic here that shows you where to follow me on Twitter. Hey, check that out, at Ben Caspick. But if you're listening to this on, you know, Apple or Spotify or whatever, be sure to check it out at some point on YouTube. The show is Locked On Giants, and you can find every single episode there. We're free on all platforms. So coming up on today's show, we are going to talk about the last couple of games and everything that's gone down with the San Francisco Giants in the last couple of days. Today was a much-needed win. I'm just going to say that right off the bat. The Giants salvage a game in this four-game series. After losing the third game of this four-game series, the Giants' fourth game in a row and fifth out of six overall yesterday, they fell out of first place. Despite an historically good August, the Dodgers were even better, and the Giants fell out of first place. I think a lot of the, you know, if the Giants played in some other division like the National League East, we wouldn't really be batting an eye. Well, you know, the nature of this industry is that people freak out when the team isn't playing well, even if it's a tiny portion of the season and the rest of the season has gone exceptionally well. But it'd be a lot different if the Giants had like a 14 game in the division versus being on the brink of losing their lead, which is what ultimately ended up happening last night. So the Dodgers were off today, and so the Giants, with a win, would pull back to being tied in the NL West, and with a loss, they would have fallen to a game behind the Dodgers entering this critical upcoming three-game series against LA. So needless to say, it was a huge game today, and the Giants had a pitcher on the mound who they felt, you know, they feel the most confident with right now, and that's Logan Webb. They've had inconsistency from pretty much every other spot in that starting rotation lately. I thought Kevin Gausman in the loss on Wednesday actually looked pretty good. It was some of the best. It was among the best games I've seen him pitch in a number of starts in about a month and a half. But the Giants lost the game anyway, which we'll talk about at some point. But Logan Webb was once again fantastic today. Just going to pull up some of the numbers here. In his last 14 starts, he owns an S 1.46 ERA, and he's held opponents to two or fewer runs in each of those 14 starts. So he has just been phenomenal. He has just looked like a frontline starter, and today may have been the best start of all. And the thing is, too, he's doing this against really good teams. It's not like he's just taking advantage of the Diamondbacks and the Pirates and the Rockies in San Francisco or something like that. He is consistently pitching against upper echelon teams. His last start was dominant, seven shutout innings against the Braves, who are going to win that National League East. And today, facing the team that's going to win the National League Central, Webb goes out there and fires seven innings, allows one run, 10 strikeouts. 10 strikeouts today for Logan Webb, which I don't have the note pulled up if that's a career high or not, but it has to be up there among the most strikeouts he's had in a game. Scattered just four hits, and he had one walk. And then the Giants were able to go to Rodgers and McGee to close out this game, and they were able to score some runs off of an impossible-to-score-on Brewers bullpen today. Darren Ruff had the big hit, and then Tyro Estrada capped it off with a three-run homer, and all of that happened with two outs. So there's so much to get to. I mean, just specifically to talk about what Logan Webb is doing, he lowered his season ERA to 2.56 in 112 and a third innings. Fielding independent pitching is 2.89. Expected fielding independent pitching is 2.80. So across the board, those numbers are fantastic. His ground ball rate continues to be among the very best in the game. The average launch angle against him continues to be among the very best in the game. And as an extreme ground ball pitcher, and as a pitcher who's able to induce so much, you know, contact that goes into the ground, just on average, he doesn't allow a lot of home runs. And that's a big part of having success in the modern game, is being able to keep the ball from going over the fence. And Webb has allowed just 8 home runs this season in 112 and a third innings. And that is among the better rates in the game. So Logan Webb, just 24 years old. I mean, every time he pitches, we end up having a conversation just like this one. His emergence is one of the bigger deals for the Giants in 2021, and he just keeps doing it. It's truly amazing what he's doing on a consistent basis. It's kind of one thing to like look up at the end of the year and have these numbers. I mean, not that I'm going to say that wouldn't be great in and of itself, but the fact that he's been able to throw out 14 straight starts like this, pretty much, is incredible, especially given that his big kind of issue the last couple of seasons was inconsistency. We would sometimes see Logan Webb being great, but we would sometimes see Logan Webb scuffling. And in fact, more often than not, we would see him scuffling with command and kind of losing command. And he didn't necessarily walk a ton of batters, but he would have stretches where he just lost his ability to attack the zone and he was falling behind in counts. And his mindset of just attacking the zone has made a huge difference in his performance on the field. And in fact, when he was interviewed after today's game, that was one of the main things he talked about, was just changing his mindset and having an attitude of just pounding the strike zone, and that it makes everything better. So it certainly has for him. So coming up next, we'll look a little bit closer at Logan Webb, and we'll talk about the Giants winning rally in that eighth inning against one of the best relievers in the game. And I also want to talk about roster moves that got made. Mauricio Dubon is back from the minor leagues, and he was in this starting lineup today and made a kind of key play in the ninth inning defensively. And then, you know, Wilmer Flores lands on the injured list. So some moves to get through. And I don't know if I said this already, but we'll also talk about the loss the previous night. So all of that is coming up next. But does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch all your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is that there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right. As promised, here in the second half of the show, there's not three halves. It's like hockey. We got three periods here. In the second period today, we're going to talk about, you know, the Giants winning rally, how they were able to get that going. We'll talk about the Giants roster moves at some point. I can't promise it'll be the second period, could be the third. And we'll also, I want to talk about some of the takeaways from the previous night. And just a reminder that the reason this show is coming out later than usual, this should be coming out in the 5 o'clock hour, is because there was a day game today. So whenever there's a day game following a night game, we typically wait for the podcast to come out until after that day game. So if you're not used to that, that is typically our schedule, but we still do get these shows out Monday through Friday, meaning we'll have one tomorrow morning or at noon as well. So that'll probably be a mailbag. So be on the lookout for the prompt. We'll talk more about that later. But getting into the game, I mean, I want to talk about the winning rally. I want to talk about the fact that Austin Slater had a good night. Kind of comically, there were some people I was chatting with on Twitter yesterday and before the game today who were talking about how Austin Slater stinks and shouldn't even be on this team, basically. I'm paraphrasing, maybe unfairly paraphrasing a little bit, but that was the gist of it, was to kind of say, why is Austin Slater playing? And I made the point that, you know, even though he has on the whole struggled and my eyes tell me that he has just not had a good season, the numbers say that against left-handed pitching, you know, despite the fact that it's a big step back from what he was able to do last year against left-handed pitching, this season and in his career, he remains about 20% above average against left-handed pitching. I don't put a lot of stock into single season platoon splits because we're dealing in the land of small samples in that case. But when he's doing it this year and when he's on the whole done it in his entire career, I tend to continue to believe in the player to produce in that situation. Platoon splits are, you know, that's why Slater is on this roster, to play against left-handed pitching. What was interesting was in Wednesday's lineup, Slater was not leading off. He almost always leads off against a lefty, but on Wednesday, it was actually Darren Ruff in the leadoff spot, which I thought was pretty interesting and actually not, you know, not a bad move. I like instant offense, and that's what Ruff against a lefty gives you at the top of the lineup. But they actually put Slater back in that spot for today's game, and he delivered. He delivered a leadoff home run in the bottom of the first inning on the first pitch. And then he later had a single as well. And Darren Ruff, who I just think is deserving of everyday playing time. Like, if you look at what he's been able to do since coming back to the United States from Korea, he's hitting lefties, yes, but he's also hitting righties. And again, we're dealing kind of in the land of small samples when we're looking at his numbers against righties in the last couple of seasons. But just watching him, the quality of his at-bats is good, kind of no matter who's on the mound. But Darren Ruff, I mean, actually, I was going to say, but today, you know, against the lefty, he was able to come through, and that's what he does. But the big hit, and actually the only hit for Darren Ruff in this game, came against a righty and one of the best righties in baseball, Devin Williams. So the Giants were able to put up a four-run rally against Devin Williams in the bottom of the eighth inning. The score was tied 1-1 going into that inning, and in fact, it was still 1-1 with two outs and nobody on base. Chris Bryant drew a walk and then attempted to steal second. And this is where it got interesting. He was called out on the field, and I still haven't seen a replay that definitively showed me that he was safe. I believe he was safe, but the replays didn't look definitive to me, sometimes because the umpire was kind of in the way. But they, after a kind of lengthy review, actually overturned the call. Would have been very easy for them to just keep the call as is. The umpires in New York have historically been pretty safe like that in just keeping the call on the field if you don't see really obvious proof. But for all we know, they had a better look at it because they have access to more camera angles than any individual broadcast, although this game was on YouTube, so I'm not sure they had limited camera angles themselves. But anyhow, they overturn it, and if they don't, we go to the ninth inning tied 1-1, and I have no idea how the rest of that game ends up. But as it happened, they overturn it. Brandon Belt draws a walk, which is, you know, what he does, and then Darren Ruff comes up with the money hit that this team has been lacking for the last four or five or six games. He hits a double down the left field line. He had been hitting the ball hard all series, like right to Christian Yelich, starting with, I think it was the first game, runners on the corners, two outs, Giants down a run, and he just hit a rocket. I think it was like 107 miles an hour or something. Could be misremembering that a little bit, but he's been hitting line drives to left all series long. Really, if he just kind of lifts it a little more, those balls are in the seats, but they've been finding gloves. But this one, he kind of pulled a little more, and it went into the corner for a huge relieving go-ahead double with Jake McGee ready in the ninth. So you felt good at least a little bit about that situation. But then Tyro Estrada came up and just delivered a knockout punch, a three-run homer. You know, he's filling in at second base for Wilmer Flores, who went on the injured list prior to today's game. Estrada has been up and down, filling in for people and then getting sent back down and then filling in when somebody else goes down. So that was a huge hit for him. He also made a great defensive play to end the game in the bottom of the ninth. And as did Mauricio Dubon, who has been, you know, in the minors for quite a while here for, I think it was the beginning of July when Dubon went down. I could be misremembering that a little bit, but he made a really nice defensive play in that ninth inning. Leadoff hit, and then the second batter, he made a dive coming in on the ball, and if that got past him, it might have been an inside-the-park home run, or at least it would have been runner scores and then the batter on second or third base. Anyway, none of that is all that important, except to say the two new guys, you know, kind of Estrada and Dubon, made really nice defensive plays that helped the Giants in that ninth inning. So they were able to hold on and win, and it was just a much needed win for this team as they pull even with the Dodgers. Now, importantly, the Giants are still, and they, even when they had this losing streak, they remained in a really strong position to at least make the postseason. But I think people's attention is on the division. I understand why. There's a huge benefit to winning the division as opposed to being subjected to that wild card game. But I'm going to continue to talk about their magic number to clinch a postseason berth, because I feel like, given what expectations were for this team entering the year, that making it to the wild card game would be something to celebrate, even if you don't end up winning the division. I would not consider that a major disappointment. The Dodgers are really good, and if the Giants end up losing the division, I would imagine the Dodgers are probably going to have 100-plus wins, and that's pretty expected for them. So it's not, I wouldn't consider that like a collapse by the Giants. Obviously, it depends on what goes down in the last month here, but, you know, I don't know. I'm just going to continue to talk about that magic number to clinch a postseason berth, which is now 15. So we'll talk more about that next, where the Giants are in that race. And we'll get into a little bit of the game prior. I want to talk about a Lamont Wade Jr. near home run that would have been a home run in 29 of the 30 parks, only not Oracle Park. So that's a gut punch, but that's what happened. So we will get into that in a minute. But before we do, it's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one source for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest open now at BetOnline. Head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code LOCKEDON. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand that their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money with Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the exact same parts at a chain store or car dealership? Like, you can ask the car dealership what the part is that they need and then order it at rockauto.com, save a fortune, and then ask the dealership to install it for you. It's really a no-brainer, and you're just wasting money if you're asking the dealership to order it for you, to be honest. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, as promised, we are going to talk about the Giants 5-2 loss on Wednesday a little bit. I just want to, you know, talk about what happened with Lamont Wade Jr. hitting a blast that would have tied the game. It's like the Giants felt like they were, it felt like the Giants were cursed in the last few games. Just they were hitting rockets that were finding gloves. The Brewers were hitting bloop hits that were, you know, big hits that were finding grass and making a difference in the game. You know, in that winning rally that the Brewers had, there was like just a little dribbler that was a tweener between Brandon Belt and Dominic Leone off the mound. And Belt made the play and flipped to Leone, and he couldn't make the catch because the flip was a little bit offline. But it's just a little swinging bunt, and that leads to a run scoring that made a big difference, whereas the Giants are hitting rockets that are finding gloves with guys on base in big spots. So that's what was happening. And then Lamont Wade Jr. Hit a drive. I forget exactly what inning it was, but it would have tied the game if it was a home run. And it, you know, StatCast gave us, you know, we have the luxury of knowing this. I don't know if it's a luxury or something we don't even want to know, but StatCast tells us that it would have been a home run in 29 of the 30 parks. The important thing to keep in mind with StatCast is it's not factoring in like atmospheric factors. It's only factoring in the distance, the launch angle and the exit velocity and the distance. I think it's projecting the distance based on the launch angle and exit velocity and not actually how far it went when it's saying this would have been a home run. Regardless, it was a blast, and there's not probably any stadium in the big leagues that would have held that in. And so that's just part of a larger point I wanted to make, that it really felt like the Giants were cursed in a way. And I obviously don't believe they were actually cursed, but that's just part of baseball sometimes. Stretches like this happen where it feels like every little break is going against you. And the Giants were fighting through that during the series with the Brewers. There was also a terrible call by the home plate umpire with Jose Alvarez on the mound with two on and two outs, big spot in the game. He made a perfect pitch that was right there in the strike zone, called a ball. So, you know, I have forever been in favor of an automated strike zone, and I will continue to be in favor of it until it finally comes, which I think it ultimately will. But that was just a terrible call in a big situation. And the umpire on Wednesday, I'm blanking on his name. Actually, I can pull it up right here. Ted Barrett. Ted Barrett had a bad night, and Ted Barrett, an unforgivably bad night. He was just so bad. And it seemed like he, again, like when I say it felt like the Giants were cursed, his calls, were favoring the Brewers and really not helping out the Giants. He was calling pitches that were way worse than that one that was called ball four, strikes the next inning against the Giants. So it was just kind of an unforgivably bad zone. And I ultimately blame the league because I want to see an automated strike zone come into play. We mentioned how the Chris Bryant overturn made such a huge difference in this game today. If there's no replay, Brewers may have won this game. Like, it basically would have been a coin flip, and the Brewers easily could have won today's game. But because replay was there and they got the call right, it did. When I say I didn't see a definitive angle, I do believe he was safe. But replay, getting the call right, enabled the Giants to score four runs and win the game. And honestly, the strike zone has even more of an impact on a game-to-game basis than calls like that, because, you know, it is involved in every single play. The strike zone makes an enormous difference. And so consistently missing calls is just unacceptable to me. And I just have thought some of the umpiring has been pretty bad recently, especially in Wednesday's game for me. Also, Jose Alvarez was getting squeezed a little bit in that start that he made in the first game of this series. So some roster moves and the situation with the starting pitching. Let's talk about for a second. Johnny Cueto was placed on the 10-day injured list with a right elbow strain. Caleb Berger and John Brebbia and Tyro Estrada were recalled. This was prior to the Wednesday game because rosters expanded. So two of those moves being for expanded rosters and one of those moves being for Cueto going on the injured list. Gabe Kapler said that Cueto has been dealing with elbow soreness for about a week. He was pitching through it because the Giants needed innings. They hope it's a shorter IL stint, but they're going to try to give him try and get him right. His velocity was down last night. I'm copying somebody's notes there, so apologize. I forgot to give credit to whoever came up with those notes. But for now, the Giants are likely to have two out of every five games be filled by the bullpen. And this is going to come into play immediately. I think we're going to see Anthony DeSclafani. I do believe that was confirmed. DeSclafani will start the first game against the Dodgers and the next two lineup as bullpen games. But they could always make a different move. They could have Sammy Long make a start. They could have Jose Quintana make a start. They could call somebody else up from the minor leagues. Remains to be seen, but for now, we're going to go with the expectation that they're going to have bullpen games. And I don't think that's the worst thing, because they have a pretty good bullpen. And that bullpen game in the first game against the Brewers, they pitched pretty well outside of Jose Alvarez. They had some great performances out of the pen in that game, as you know, they pitched as well as you could hope for from a starter. So a good bullpen means that's not such a bad thing. And Kapler even said, quote, about bullpen games, "It's something we've seen good teams do." I guess that's the end of the quote. But then whoever wrote this note said the Dodgers and Rays have done it a ton. Expect a lot of shuffling to keep fresh arms up in Cueto's roster spot. And he's right. I mean, a lot of good teams do bullpen games regularly. The Dodgers have been doing it a lot recently as well. And they've been even hotter than the Giants as a whole over the last 30 days or so. So I think that the Giants can survive this. The one risk, and you all, I'm sure, are thinking this, is that you're going to potentially burn out your pen. And when you need them, let's say, you know, Kevin Gausman or Anthony DeSclafani can't go deep into a game, you've got a burned out bullpen, and then it just creates all kinds of problems. So that's definitely a possibility. Alex Wood, of course, is on the COVID IL, but, you know, the sooner he can come back, the better. I don't really know exactly how long to expect Cueto to be out. I think the last I heard, I think we had an update today, and he might miss more time on the IL with a flexor strain than last time. And of course, I think I mentioned Wilmer Flores went on the IL as well, and they said it's going to be a couple weeks. Tommy La Stella is close to returning, and Evan Longoria was cleared to take a lot of swings on Wednesday. So hopefully La Stella and Longoria are close, and hopefully Alex Wood is feeling better and can come back as soon as possible from the COVID IL. Anyway, that is the time we have for today. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. We had a lot to catch up on, 2 days worth of stuff. As you can see, the Giants are very busy and we always have a lot to talk about. So coming up tomorrow, we will either be talking about any additional moves that got made and anything to kind of get you caught up on that we weren't able to get to today. I don't believe there was anything, but if any, you know, other moves happen, we'll talk about those. And we'll also do a mailbag. So look out on Twitter for the prompt. You can follow me there at Ben Caspic. If you're watching on YouTube, this is the Twitter account that I'm pointing to here. So once again, my name is Ben Caspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Caspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out so much. So thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. You are now Locked On Giants.